Hello, buddy. Good morning and welcome to the United Stand. I'm Mark Goldbridge and this is your latest Manchester United news now this Tuesday morning. And I tell you what, it's some big breaking news, massive breaking news coming in, mainly because the goalkeeper's massive. He's 6'8". This is coming in from Fabrizio Romano. We're going to get into that, but there's also an update on Bruno Fernandes. There's also an update on Victor Osimhen talks, which I think are quite interesting, and a couple of other bits to get into this morning as well. But let's talk about this news story that's coming in from Fabrizio Romano this morning, and we're talking goalkeepers. Now, what I'm very excited about here is that it's Fabrizio Romano talking about it, which I think is always a big sign as a Man United fan. We know under Ineos, Sir Jim Radcliffe, Joel Glazer, the summer transfer window last year was very much around David Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano breaking stories around credible targets. So when you've got Fabrizio Romano talking about Manchester United being after a goalkeeper, then I think you get very excited if a goalkeeper is what you want. So the story is that Manchester United have added Torino goalkeeper Vanya Milinkovic-Savic to their shortlist for a new goalkeeper. Initial contacts have taken place as he's among candidates for next season. United are waiting on the price tag and more. That's from Fabrizio Romano. So, who is he? What does this mean? Well, first of all, it also means that we've had two stories on the United Stand from a source in the last 2 months that have been absolutely nailed on, bang to rights, true. The first story was about a month ago saying that Delap was our priority signing. And obviously, everybody within a couple of weeks of that was reporting that. So very good information. But you may also remember in the international break, we spoke about Amrim wanting to replace Onana. And that was an exclusive as well. The story being that Amrim likes Onana. Funnily enough, that came out a few days ago, didn't it? Amrim likes Onana. He's well liked in the dressing room. But as a goalkeeper, he is not Amrim's pick. And Amrim wants his own guy. And he wants to replace him this summer. And it's down to Sir Jim and everybody else as to whether they can move Onana out and bring a goalkeeper in. So that has come to pass again and is now being reported by people like Fabrizio Romano. We will talk about Bruno in a bit, but I want to talk about this first and then Osimhen. So effectively, who is Vanya Milinkovic-Savic? And I think that the big things, and big is the word that people will be asking about him, is he a ball-playing goalkeeper? To which I say, get back on TikTok with your hipsters and jog on. I couldn't give a toss if he's a ball-playing goalkeeper or not, because one of my big pet hates about goalkeepers is when people go, are they a ball-playing goalkeeper, before they ask, is he a good shot stopper? We are not in desperate need of a ball-playing goalkeeper. We are in desperate need of a dominant goalkeeper who is good in the air and can make saves. That is the starting point. We almost had that with De Gea. I would admit he wasn't amazing in the air, but he was certainly better than Onana. But we had a shot stopper and we got rid of him for a ball-playing goalkeeper. And we are not a ball-playing defence. So I'm not bothered about ball-playing goalkeepers. In fact, I quite like a goalkeeper who just boots it long, because I can't stand playing out from the back. I hate it. But this guy is huge. He is 6'8". He's 28. So he's experienced. He's big. And he is fantastic, fantastic in the air and at saving shots. Ball-playing goalkeeper-wise, look, I've done a little bit of research and people say he's got a big throw on him and he can play the ball out from the back. The only weakness I've seen about him is that because of his height, sometimes he's a little bit, not slow, but, you know, shot, get up. He's got a big stature, so he may not be as agile as certain goalkeepers, but he is respected as one of the, you know, sort of underrated goalkeepers in European football. And I'm not surprised Man United are looking at him. The interesting thing is going to be what sort of price we're looking at. He is the brother of Sergej Milinkovic-Savic, who we were linked to heavily with Jose, who used to play for Lazio and is now in Saudi. So, look, it doesn't mean we're signing this goalkeeper, but what it does mean is that we are looking at goalkeepers, as we spoke about in the international break, as we should be. There is no way you can walk into a Man United football club and go, Onana's my guy. I don't even know why Ten Hag did it. I don't know why Ten Hag got rid of De Gea for Onana. And there is no way that Amrim's going to walk in and go, hey, I didn't buy him, but he's my guy. So
Yeah, it'd be interesting. John Smith says, I think there's a 20 million release clause. I mean, if he's got that, then it's very interesting. I mean, what I will concede is that we might bring him in for £15 million and keep an Arna and let the competition commence. That might be what happens. But Robert McCormack says he was on our books before. Yeah, vaguely did ring a bell before, actually. Did you know he played for the United's youth in 2015, says Nicholas. I mean, this has been backed up by two people now. But look, I think, look, we think of goalkeepers and we think £40-50 million. If he's available for £15 million and he's playing for Torino and he's a good goalkeeper, the only thing that's just dropped into my head is, did we not get that goalkeeper who was shit from Torino? What was his name? Was it Massimo Taibbi or something like that? Did we not get him from Torino? I mean, look, that's superstition there. But yeah, I think it's an exciting story, and I'm very intrigued by where this develops, because the main thing for me is that we get a goalkeeper this summer. I wouldn't say it's my priority position. Striker is, Cunha is, midfield is, but we do need to get a goalkeeper in. And look, I don't expect a goalkeeper to come in and hit the ground running. That didn't happen with De Gea. It didn't happen with Schmeichel. Van der Sar, it did, because he was that level. But the sooner we get the new goalkeeper in, the sooner we can start to build. Apparently, his contract expires in the summer as well. Let me have a quick look at this, because I haven't checked that. Milinkovic-Savic. Let's have a quick look. Vanya Milinkovic-Savic. So we've been linked to him by Fabrizio Romano this morning. He's confirmed that we're waiting for a price. His contract is up in 2026 with a option for a further year. So, yeah, he's got a year or two left on his contract. Is there a release clause? Five days ago, Torino president breaks silence on future of 17 million rated star. Let's have a look at what the quote is. He had a great championship and it is normal that he receives a lot of attention, but no offer has arrived. He reportedly has a release clause of 17 million, which will be valid until the end of July. I mean, I'm not going to say sign him up, but what I will say, and I think a lot of people will agree with me here, if this is the right profile of goalkeeper and if this is the guy we're going to bring in to replace Bienda, says Robert McCormack, then maybe, you know, maybe he just comes in to compete with an Arna. But I don't know. I think he strikes me as a goalkeeper that's not coming in to be a number two. He strikes me as a goalkeeper that's coming in to, it'd be interesting. I don't necessarily think he's a Bienda replacement. I think at the profile of season he's had, the player he is, I think he would want to start. And I think that, look, as Fabrizio says, he's added to the list. United need a goalkeeper that Amrin can trust and wants to build with. And if it's this guy at that price, it's interesting. Vitek is a good keeper, but respect Amrin for wanting his own man. It's normal, says Eno. Is everything okay? You're on time, says Mazraoui. I'm always on time for the 10 o'clock show, mate. That just means you're never on time. 100% always on time for that. He was with us but couldn't play because of a work permit, says Amit. Thank you very much, Amit. Hope you're doing very well. So yeah, there we are. That's the big breaking story on the new show this morning. Fabrizio Romano has confirmed that Manchester United are in talks for Vanya Milinkovic-Savic. They're awaiting on price details from Torino, but he's definitely a player of interest. 6'8". I'll be honest, he's a little bit big for me. I'm not obsessed about goalkeepers that are that big. Having said that, Donnarumma's height is not going to be too far off, and he is mobile. So how tall is Donnarumma? I bet he's not far off 6'8". I mean, Donnarumma's 6'5". Bloody hell. 6'8". It might be a little bit too big. That's what she said. Yeah. That's the only thing I would say. I think a goalkeeper can be too big. 6'8" is huge. But look, at the end of the day, if that's what Amrin wants, you back it, don't you? I do like Garcia. Cameron, I do like him a lot at Espanyol. He looks like a very interesting goalkeeper. But again, what price are you going to play for him? Savic grew up in my neighbourhood in Serbia, always wearing a Schmeichel shirt when we played at our playground. He loves the club since a kid, says Syndicate. And apparently he's got a massive throw as well, which is very Schmeichel-esque, definitely. Okay, let's move on. Let's just quickly talk about Bruno, because we spoke about Bruno Fernandes last night. And I think there was a few people sort of like saying it's a load of nonsense. It's really interesting, actually. You should be watching United Stand all the time anyway. 10 o'clock UK time, 2 o'clock UK time, 8 o'clock UK time. We were live last night talking about Bruno Fernandes, and I'd messaged somebody about half an hour before I went live, and I mentioned it on the show. Good source. And they said to me, look, it will be true that Saudi want Bruno because they've wanted him for 2 years and they will want him. They will put a very, very generous offer on the table. But it doesn't mean he'll go, but you can take it to the bank, literally, that Saudi Pro League do want Bruno. They've wanted him for a long time. So it was very interesting to wake up this morning and see that Fabrizio Romano had said that, they have genuine interest in Bruno as one of their top targets and have been looking at him for the last couple of years. So, you know, the interest is genuine for Bruno Fernandes. He is one of their top targets in the Saudi Pro League. There are no talks between the two clubs. Man United see Bruno as a crucial player. Same for Ruben Amorim. And their clear plan is to keep Bruno. So, look, you have a situation whereby there is... And the Saudi Pro League does work like this. I don't think Man United work like this. I don't think Man City work like this. I don't think Liverpool or Real Madrid maybe... It's quite well. I don't think Real Madrid do either. You don't. A lot of clubs won't go for a player unless the player wants to come. We're used to that. You can go for a player and the club doesn't want to sell, and you just try your arm. You know, the player wants to come to us. Let's negotiate, and the club might say forget it. But it's very rare for a club to go for a player when the player doesn't want to leave and the club doesn't want to leave. But that effectively, to me, is what we've got going on here. Now, I know nearly 50% of you last night were saying you'd take £100 million for Bruno. You've got to respect that, you know. And I don't agree with it, of course. But I do find it strange that for the third summer transfer window in a row, the Saudi Pro League is approaching Bruno Fernandes, offering lots of money, and he doesn't want to go. And Man United don't want to sell him. So is it just, let's just keep trying? You know, one day he'll say yes, maybe. But... I'm not surprised by the updates this morning. Man United don't want to sell. He's not for sale. He's a key player. Bruno doesn't want to go, but the Saudi Pro League want him. And that's just where it is. So look, that's the story. That's the story it was last night. But it's nice to, you know, have that verification that, you know, the Saudi League are after him. He's played 34 games and conceded 35 goals, says Trey, which is not bad for Torino, talking about the goalkeeper. Anyway, let's talk about Victor Osimhen, because this story caught my eye last night. And whilst a lot of people are saying, oh, no, it's a load of rubbish. Can you remember about 2 weeks ago, there was this report that Man United were in advanced talks with Osimhen. And it was actually this journalist who'd said it before Romano at Santa JFM said, not true. It's not true that Man United are in talks with Osimhen. And then a few hours later, I think Romano said it's not true. So it's interesting that you've got a journalist who a couple of weeks ago said it's not true that Osimhen is in advanced talks with Manchester United. And then Fabrizio confirmed it. But then last night he came out and said a meeting took place between Man United and Osimhen's entourage. Osimhen is very interested in joining United. He wants a salary of 12 million per year. Now, this is where research and knowledge is really important, because people can say, oh, it's not Osimhen again. You know, Matt, our editor, said he scored a couple of goals at the weekend. That's why we're being linked to him again. You know, it's all PR. And it probably is, to be fair. But I think you also have to be fair. If you've played the game and you study the game, and that's our job with you, to bring you the news in a different way, this particular journalist counteracted a story like this 2 weeks ago, saying United weren't in talks with Osimhen. And then last night, he says, we are. So you could just go, oh, well, just doing it for clicks. Or you could also go, well, he clearly knew 2 weeks ago that the story was false. But then last night, he's saying that we have had talks. So I look, maybe it's pure optimism. Maybe it's pure hope that we're not going to get Delap and we're going to go for a striker like that. But I'm just throwing it out there that that is a backstory to this story. And this story is that a meeting took place between Man United and Osimhen's entourage. Osimhen's interested. He wants a salary of 12 million a year. And look, I would sign Osimhen. The same article goes on to say that Man United's priority striker is Gyökeres if they win the Europa League. There is a four-man shortlist, which also includes Osimhen, Delap, and another European striker, which I'm going to talk about who that could be in a moment. So, yeah, look, I would love that story to be true. I would love us to be holding talks with Osimhen. I would love our priority to be Gyökeres if we win the Europa League. I would love those things to be true. And obviously, 2 weeks tomorrow, I hope we're in a final winning the Europa League that opens the door to all these optimistic signings. And we're going to have to wait for that, aren't we? But look, if it's Liam Delap or Osimhen, it's Osimhen every time. If it's Liam Delap or Gyökeres, it's Gyökeres every time. And if it's Liam Delap or the European striker, I think it is, it's probably the European striker every time. I agree with Liam Osimhen again, laugh out loud. I also have nightmares like DJ Jeremy that it'll be Calvert-Lewin. But stranger things have happened with Manchester United in the last 12 months. Nobody would have given us a chance of getting Yoro. It happened. So my personal feeling with Osimhen has always been that there is an agent doing his job, as I would do the same job, and I would be putting it out there that there are talks with Man United because they, you know, we know that Man United need a striker. I would be putting it out there that Chelsea are interested, that Arsenal are interested, that PSG are interested. And all the time I'm doing that, I'm saying to Saudi, I want this much, I want this much, I want this much, I want this much. So, yeah, that's my interpretation of it, that he will just end up in Saudi on very big money. But look, until he does, and whilst we need a striker, you live in hope, I suppose. The Europa League will decide if we go for Gyökeres or Osimhen, or if we lose, it will be Liam Delap, says Bjorn. Having said that, was it not a story about 10 days ago that Liam Delap is waiting till the end of the season to see who's in Europe? So maybe, you know, maybe that was who Ruben Amorim was alluding to when he said we don't want players who are waiting to see if we're in Europe. I mean, a lot of people thought that was to do with Gyökeres. The reality is it could well have been to do with Liam Delap. Maybe Amorim saw that and thought, you know what, I don't want a player that's you know, that early in his career, who's been in a relegation battle, telling me that, you know, I'm going to wait and see if you're in the Europa League before I decide to sign you. So maybe he was talking about that. I mean, I don't know. There could be something in it. Let me just come back to this here. Have you seen that Wayne Rooney said that Harry Kane should come to Manchester United? Look, Wayne Rooney, I did a 2 o'clock show yesterday, and Wayne Rooney said something really interesting about how the youth teams are playing a 4-3-3, but the first team's playing a 3-4-3. And I gave that credit, and I said, that's quite an intelligent comment, and it opened a bit of a debate. But I think this is the thing with ex-players. I don't think they're opinions are any better than yours, and I think they can have a good opinion and I think they can have a bad opinion. And I think Harry Kane to Manchester United would be an absolute shit show, to be honest with you. I think it would be the Harry Kane show. It would be Harry Kane coming to Manchester United to break the Premier League goal record, to make Robert McCormack happy, and I don't think it would help Manchester United. I'm English. Harry Kane is world-class as a striker, but it's the same as Mbappe. Just because he's world-class doesn't mean you stick him in your team and it works. What have we learned this year? PSG, Barcelona, system. System, system, system. Harry Kane in a Man United current 3-4-3 system won't work. We need a forward that runs. We need a forward that plays on the last man. We do not need a forward that thinks they're a number 6 or a number 10. We've already got two 10s. I think Harry Kane is the worst fit in the world for an Amorim system because Harry Kane wants to be a 10 as well as a 9. And we play with two 10s. So, and he's not mobile enough. World-class striker doesn't suit our system. Probably work really well in a Liverpool system, to be honest with you. Really well. Probably work quite well in an Arsenal system, to be honest with you, because they play those wide forwards that get forward. Worked really well in a Spurs system because they play those wide forwards that get forward. Probably would have worked quite well in a Ten Hag system with wide forwards that get forward. But in a system where Amorim needs his striker to play on the last man with two tens behind him, he wouldn't work. I don't want to see Harry Kane at Manchester United. I want to build something for the future. I don't want to bring another striker in their 30s who is going to decline in front of our eyes. Nope. But that's just my opinion. Some of you will agree with Rooney, which is what it's all about. Rajaf says, apparently Vanya was already at our club. Yes, he was. It did ring a bell. Robert McCormack says, I always loved Wayne Rooney. It did ring a bell with me. And to be fair, a couple of people, including Robert, confirm it a few minutes ago that this goalkeeper that we've been linked to was at Man United about 10 years ago, couldn't get a work permit. So, Two Pump YouTube says, just saw Garnacho has 21 goals and assists this season. I know it's not Yamal levels, but youth is unpredictable. Just feel selling him isn't the right idea unless Amorim feels he needs better. I saw this as well. I think it's a great point. I do think it's a great point. But what I would say is use the eye test. Somebody said this about Bruno last night, you know, he creates all these chances, but what are these chances? Like, he was creating loads of chances a year ago and he wasn't playing well. So sometimes people throw stuff at you and go, oh, this is a reason to keep him. I think 21 goals and assists in one season is pretty decent for Garnacho, but I admit, as a fan of Garnacho, he's massively selfish. So, like, there is so many more levels to go. So I agree with you that, I mean, I'm a massive fan of Garnacho. I think he's got an amazing potential. I wouldn't be selling him any day of the week. But I'd also concede he can be really frustrating as well. And he's got to grow up in that sense. But no, you're right. I would not be going anywhere near cashing in on him. I mean, he's not Yamal, you're right. But I think there is potential there. Patrick Lynch has given us a super chat. I hope you're doing well, Patrick. He says, the pundits saying United should get Kane is lazy. It's a case of who's good. Just say United should get them. It's all for headlines. Yeah, I think that's why communities like this prosper, because it's really easy to just sit there and get paid 30 grand to sit and say Man United should get Harry Kane. It's not so easy to sit for an hour interacting with 10,000 people who know a lot more than that and want to have a proper conversation. And I think this is where a lot of the mainstream fall down now, because it's just tired, lazy, easy headlines around stuff that people just, you know, don't actually respect because it's nonsense. Harry Kane isn't going to leave Bayern Munich, I don't think, this summer anyway. And also, look, this is not specific to Harry Kane and it's not specific to Wayne Rooney, but also what makes me laugh is that Man United should sign Harry Kane. Even if you think we should sign Harry Kane, it's the laziness, as Patrick says, that frustrates, because we're all trying to live in a real world where we're owned by the Glazers and Sir Jim Ratcliffe's saying that we've got no money. And then you've got somebody saying, you know, we should sign Harry Kane. Harry Kane is 31. He's got a contract for another 2 years. Are Bayern Munich just going to go have him on a free? They're going to say 50, 60 million pounds. Easy. Why would they let Harry Kane go for anything less than that? 2 years left on his contract, still one of the best strikers in the world. Lewandowski is scoring goals for Barcelona in his mid-30s. They're going to go, you're going to get a world-class striker for another 4 years and you think we're just going to do you a favour? The bidding starts at 60 million quid. United aren't spending 60 million pounds, and they might want more. Why would Bayern Munich give up one of Europe's best strikers? Why would they do it? So it's not even possible anyway. And that's what I mean. It's just lazy. I mean, I could go live now and go, hello, welcome to the United Stand. There is some genuine real news and there is some genuine real conversation to have, but I think we should sign Vinicius Junior. Yeah, get Van Dijk out of Liverpool. And you know what? I think Saka's bored at Arsenal. Cole Palmer, yeah, just get them. Yeah, let's talk about how good Cole Palmer would be in the United style, United team. Oh, he'd cook. He'd be cooking like Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Tom Kent agrees with me. Yeah, yeah. Syndicate says I'm unsubscribing from this fake fantasy bullshit. What? Santiago Jimenez from Feyenoord, is he the secret? Is he still at Feyenoord? I thought he went to AC Milan. I mean, I'm no footballing expert on the European. Yeah, he wears an AC Milan shirt. He's gone, mate. Slow sports news. feel better with the injuries Spurs have had, says Annie. Mate, I am still hoping that Bodo Glimt is going to do the job on Thursday. Syndicate, don't apologise. It's very rare I get something like that spot on. I mean, I do know quite a lot about football, sort of made a career out of it. But I wouldn't hold it against you for thinking that he's still at PSV. It was a January move, wasn't it? Another big game this week, Mark. I am both excited and worried, staring into the abyss if we manage to get beat, says Tom Kent. I can't see Tom. I don't want to say everything's going to be okay, but everything's going to be okay. You have to believe it. The players have got to go into that game and win it. I think Athletic Club have been giving off too much of this. Too much mouth. We can't sit there and go, oh, let's see if we can get a 0-0 draw. Look, to me, this game on Thursday reminds me a lot of when you're playing a game on a Wednesday and you've got a cup final at the weekend and some players think, I'm not going to go for that tackle in case I get injured, and then they get injured. You can't half play a game of football. If you play on Thursday and you get injured, you get injured. It's just the way it's going to be. But you can't half play football. You've got to commit. And they've given off a lot of gob, Athletic Club. So we need to beat them. The crowd will be up for it. The players need to be up for it. We need to go and beat them on Thursday. We're 3-0 up. It gives us a bit of leeway, but you can't turn the tap on and off. We can't just start reserved and let them attack us. We've got to get at them. Basically, if I was Amrim, I'd say first 20 minutes, get the crowd going, get the fourth goal, kill the game. Yeah? I feel looking at players that played in the Premier League and went away and bringing them back is a risky idea. Pogba, says Lloyd Dingle, talking about Kane. I just have this feeling Gyökeres is going to be our big summer signing, says Andy Atherton. Reports in Portugal say he had an amazing relationship with Amrim. I prefer him to Delap or Osimhen. Look, Andy, that sort of thing gets me quite excited. I want Cunha, and hopefully at some point that Cunha deal will happen. But I'm greedy. We're Manchester United. We've got to be greedy. And I like the idea of a goalkeeper. I like the idea of bringing in a new goalkeeper because I don't trust Onana. I like the idea of bringing an experienced striker in because I think the boots are too big for people like Rasmus and Obi at the moment. I think they're too young. I think they need help. I think they need a guardian, an experienced striker. And I think an Osimhen or a Gyökeres is absolutely perfect. I don't think Liam Delap actually helps those two strikers at all. So I would love to get Gyökeres in. I think we need another midfielder as well. I think Casemiro's had a great renaissance in the last few weeks, but he still won't have the legs next season. And he hasn't really got the legs now. So we need more energy. And he's also... how many injuries? How many games can Casemiro play 60 games next season? Can Ugarte do it all? So there are key positions that we need. What I like about Man United at the moment is that everything... everything we're hearing is positive around the things that need to happen. And that just... symbolizes the fact that Amorim sees what you see and wants what you want, and then it's all eyes on the board as to whether they can deliver that. Zlazy says, is there a goalkeeper out there that you think can do a Van der Sar? He came in at 35 and had his best years at Manchester United. Well, I don't necessarily think Van der Sar had his best years at Manchester United. I think he had some very good years at Manchester United. But remember, he had a very long and successful career. He did very well at Ajax at the start of his career. Obviously, he was at Juventus. But look, if you could bring that quality... I mean, look, David De Gea is younger than when we bought Van der Sar in. We're not bringing De Gea back, are we? But my point is... Like we brought in, I don't think we're going to bring in an experienced striker. I think we're going to look to bring somebody in that's ready to go, that can compete straight away. Couple of anyway, it's a new show. I've sort of diverted into an 8 o'clock show there. There are a couple of things I also wanted to bring in. Remember that story about Man United having a four-man striker list? So Osimhen, Gyökeres, Delap, and a European striker. I might be missing here. It could be Jonathan David. But this is what Florian Plettenberg had to say this morning. Plettigoal on X. The release clause for Sesko now stands at €80 million for the summer due to his performances and flexibility within the contract. However, a transfer is also possible without triggering the clause. Sesko will be allowed to leave Leipzig if a suitable offer comes in. I don't know where he is likely to end up, but he is a player that I think has been linked to Manchester United numerous times over the last sort of 2.5 years, which means he's been in our scouting system, which means we could be looking at him. I don't know how you'd financially do that deal. I mean, look, Sesko's a decent player. I mean, he scored a bloody good goal, didn't he, at the weekend? I think it was against Bayern Munich, wasn't it? He's a good player. And whilst he's not my first, second, or even third pick, it wouldn't be surprising to me if he was a player who came to the Premier League and scored loads and loads of goals. He's still very, very young. He's been linked to Arsenal as well. So I wouldn't rule Sesko out. I just think the financials of it would be quite difficult for Manchester United to manoeuvre. I hope we don't get Mateta. Commentator's going to be singing Hakuna Mateta when we score, says Kenzo. And Shane Kenny says, I know right back isn't a priority, but what about Pedro Porro? I've never heard of us being linked to Pedro Porro, Shane. And he is actually one of Spurs' best players. So I don't even know how you'd... Yeah, I mean, look, if Pedro Porro was available for £20 million, I would go for him, but I'm not going to spend £40, £50 million on him, and I don't think Spurs are going to do that deal either. Theo says, I think Sesko and Gyökeres are both Arsenal kind of players. Osimhen is a Man United player. What do you mean by that? In the sense that you can see them in an Arsenal shirt, but you can see Osimhen in a Man United shirt. I agree with you on the visual, but on the system, Gyökeres suits us more than any of them. Does a Favel relationship exist with Sesko? A Favel relationship, that's from MMA Takedown. Favel, Christopher or Christian, I always get mixed up. Favel, who is one of our key recruitment strategists at United. Favel does have a strong relationship with the RB group. So Leipzig would come under that, yeah. So, yeah. Another story that came out that I wanted to bring back in. Now, I'm not saying it's true. It's come in from Caught Offside. And as people know, that can be, you know, it can be true. It can be not true. But basically, this came out this morning that Amrin wants Trincao at Manchester United. Multiple Premier League teams are tracking him, like Man City, Newcastle and Arsenal. But United have shown the most interest with Amrin pushing for the player. I think this sort of goes... It sort of opens up a bit of a conversation, really, because I think Trincao has gone very, very quiet as a Man United target. When last we spoke, he would be available for sort of, I think it's about 30. I'm sure he's got a €40 million release clause. So be available for about 35 million. Same as Iheanacho, actually. With regards to Trincao, I would see him playing in one of the number 10 positions. I mean, you could play him somewhere else, but I think that's where you would play him. So it would be quite interesting to go for a player like that if you're getting Cunha. So I don't know. Technically very good. experienced in his mid-20s. So he ticks a lot of boxes of the sort of player we want. And also, not only is he technically very good and experienced, he's also an Amorim disciple, isn't he? So I'll be very surprised with our summer transfer window if we don't bring a player in from Sporting. I'd almost go, why are we listening to idiots in the journalistic world? Because when Ten Hag was bringing players in from Ajax, they never shut up about it. But I think it makes total sense to bring in one or two players from Sporting. Like, there aren't many teams in Europe that play the 3-4-3. And therefore, every player you buy or inherit has got to go through a period of augmentation and adaptation and learning. If you bring a couple of Sporting players in, they don't need to. So that you're getting double the bounce, really. You bring a good player in and then they've got to learn the system. If you bring a Sporting player in and they're good, they don't need to learn the system. So I actually think it makes total sense. Whether we will bring any Sporting players in or not, I don't know. I mean, we've spoken about Jokeres. That's going to be a difficult deal. I personally think Iheanacho, the centre-back, left-footed centre-back, would be a good signing. But I think Trincão, financially, it makes a lot of sense. And as I said, he's played for Sporting, he's experienced. But I don't know that he makes a lot of sense if you're getting Cunha and you've got Ahmad and you've got Xerxes and you've got Garnacho and we're still going to have Mount. I don't know. It's the same thing as I said yesterday with Eze or someone like that. We don't need a player like that because we've actually got a lot of number 10s. Mian Turner says, Ekitike, Delap, Jokeres, Sesko, Osimhen are all good options. Ekitike is very expensive. Very, very, very expensive. Trincão's played in the Premier League as well. Yes, he was one of the many Portuguese players to play for Wolves. And obviously, you know, any player that you buy that's Portuguese means Jorge Mendes, which makes a deal very good for us. I don't think that Jorge Mendes connection gets spoken about enough, by the way. I mean, Jorge Mendes has been a huge part of Manchester United's recruitment under Sid Jim. I remember a story about 12 months ago of Man United wanting to get a super agent involved to help them get deals done. And then lo and behold, Jorge Mendes massively helped us with Ugarte and Yoro. I think he was involved in the, maybe he wasn't involved in the Xerxes deal, but he's certainly involved in the Cunha deal. So Mount should never be used as an excuse not to get a player, says Man Plus Guitar. Well, it will be used. It shouldn't be used, but it will be used because he's on 250 grand a week on a huge contract. So he's a cock blocker, really, isn't he? On a night out. I think we all know what they are. Been a long time. But he basically will stop us getting to the prize. And if people don't understand what that is, if you ever used to go out clubbing or a night out and you see somebody you quite like, but their mate is almost blocking you off from getting there, if I've played the game, a lot of you know what I'm on about. You're on a night out, you see something you like, you make an eye contact, they're giving you enough that you want to go and talk to them, but then they've got a mate who's sort of like cock blocking, you know? But yeah, Mount would sort of be like that for us getting two attacking midfielders, because if you bring Cunha in, I get it, but how do you bring a second one in without removing Mount or Garnacho or Xerxes or someone like that? It's not his fault, by the way, but it's Ten Hag's fault and Man United's fault for spending that. I mean, look, I don't want to say it because I believe that Rasmus still, and I might be banging my head against a very big concrete wall here, but I still believe Rasmus can be a good player for Man United. But if he doesn't, I think that summer will go down as the summer of pain. Mason Mount for £55 million, been injured pretty much since, and we gave him the number 7 shirt. Onana to replace De Gea, enough said, and then £70 million on Rasmus. I mean, that will go down as the summer of pain, won't it? I mean, did we do anything else that summer? It was Onana, Mount, Rasmus, and I feel we got somebody else. Um, I definitely think we got someone else that summer. Why can't I think about it?
No, it wasn't Malacia. Malacia was the season before. Casemiro was the season before. The first summer of Ten Hag was Malacia, Casemiro, Anthony, Martinez, Eriksen. The second summer was Mount, Onana, Rasmus, Amrabat. Yeah, Amrabat. That was a bloody mess. That was a waste as well, wasn't it? We messed that up right on the end of the transfer window. Yeah, that was probably the one. Zabia says, appreciate your insight and opinion, Mark. No worries, mate. No worries. If we bring a good goalkeeper and a senior striker, how many extra points we could get? Every player should bring extra points. We need a team, not individuals, says Aki. The interesting thing about that is points and signings. What can they do? Well, you're right. I think you've got to look at what does this do, what does that do? The interesting thing about the Premier League table at the moment is that if you add 10 points onto Manchester United, it puts you into eighth, quite comfortably into eighth. We've got 39 points at the moment. And, sorry, it doesn't. Bloody hell, I'm adding 20. God, it's scary. If you add 10 points to United at the moment, it puts us to 12th. Oh, God. Oh, God. I can't believe it. Oh, my God. We've got 39 points. If you add 10 points, it gets us to 12th. Wow. If you add 15 points, it gets us to 8th. If you add 20 points, it gets us to 8th. If you add 25 points, it puts us in the top 4. So there's your sort of improvement that's required. That's terrible, isn't it? Bloody hell. 10 points gets us into 12th. 20 points gets us into 8th. And 25 points gets us into 4th. I would expect a prolific goal scorer to get us another 12 points. I would expect a really good creative Cunha and a good striker to get us 15 points combined. How have you gone from 12 to 15? Because actually, a prolific goal scorer is not going to score the goals without someone like Cunha either. So I'd say Cunha and a good striker will give you 15 points. A really good goalkeeper probably gets you another 5. So yeah. I think Cunha, a really good striker and a goalkeeper that's reliable, probably hopefully gets you about 20 points. Hopefully. I mean, I might be wrong. I might be wrong on that. Could you sing the Malacia song again to Stego? I can't remember it. It was an off-the-cuff song that I've removed from my memory box. I can't remember what it was. Can't remember the tune. So I'm going to quick look if there's anything else breaking. It's been a bank holiday in the UK, so there'll be a lot of stories sort of breaking today as the journalists get back to work. So I'm going to quick look. I'll tell you what I will say about Milinkovic-Savic is that obviously, everyone's going to go around looking at compilations. Shot stopper extraordinaire and huge personality, huge believer. And it probably won't have done. You know what? I'm not going to sit here and do what some people will do. Milinkovic-Savic is the answer. I'm not going to say that. But having been at the club 10 years ago when he was 18, he will know, at least he knows the club. He's also approaching his prime. He's also a very good shot stopper and he's also got a very big personality. And similarly to Cunha, I think Man United are short of what we always had. I go back 20 years, you know, 30 years.
Man United have always had personalities. We've always had, you know, Cantona's the ultimate personality, but we've always had it. And I think Onana's got a personality, but I don't think he's ever really settled at United. And I think if he is to go, you do need a goalkeeper to come in with an aura. And he has got an aura about him. I mean, you're going to have an aura. One of the big things, big being the word, is if you're 6'8", you're going to have an aura. Anyway, we need leaders. We definitely do. I like the look of him. It's not a goalkeeper I've mentioned. It's not really my expertise or forte to tell you what goalkeepers we need to bring in. But I do like the look of it. I like the look at the price of it. And even if he came in to compete with Onana at that price, I'd be quite excited about it. Goalkeepers to me are just are different animals. You know, I spent a lot of time with goalkeepers doing the football fill-in with Watto and Ben Foster, and they are different personalities. And the thing I've picked up from goalkeepers over playing football and watching football is that, you know, they are on their own a lot. They're in the box alone a lot. They have to mentally be very, very strong, and they have to have a personality. And I think at Manchester United, not only that, but you need to have an even stronger personality because the expectations are huge. I mean, I remember Dubravka's not a bad goalkeeper. He plays a game for Man United. He completely misses a ball when it's rolled back to him. The mistakes I've seen goalkeepers made at Man United over the last 30 years is incredible. And that's just the pressure. So whoever we bring in has to be a little bit, I don't want to use the word mad, but they have to be a little bit crazy in the sense of their behavior. Eccentric is the word I'm talking about, you know, and I like the look of him. Let's see if it comes to something. But the fact that Fabrizio said it, great. Thanks everyone for watching. We're back at 2 o'clock. It's a 7 o'clock show definitely tonight because we're doing Barcelona Inter. I can't wait for that. From a purely purist football, that's football sense. Looking forward to that tonight as well. Brilliant show this morning. Really encouraged that the new show gets some big news. Make sure you smash a like and subscribe. Get your comments in as always, and I'll speak to you on the next one. Oh, actually, just for those who are waiting around, I've just remembered, I always forget to do this. So on a Tuesday, me and Terry, who does shows for us here, we do a show. It's sort of a bit of a hidden gem, I call it. Hopefully a bit of a cult niche sort of show that happens on YouTube. We do it at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, every Tuesday, which is coming up in 10 minutes. Basically, what Terry does is he takes clips from the weekend and ask, and we react to them. So stuff like the Arsene Wenger clip, we would just play it and react to it. Give it a watch at 11. I'll push you over there. If you've not seen it before, you might want to just check it out. I'll speak to you in a bit. Take care.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.